Pastor Howard to come deliver his heart to this service. We will have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And we will receive and respond to the word and to the presence of the Lord. Amen. We want a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We want the word of God to be confirmed with signs following. We want to do our part to help it happen. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, God bless Pastor Howard. Come in Jesus' name.
And I second that motion, because I sure need it. And so do you. Amen. Aren't we having a great time today? Amen. So inspiring and fulfilling to look out across here and see all of you good folks in the house of God today. You know, not everybody is turned off about church. There's a lot of folks that want to know more about God, draw closer to God, have a greater revelation of God, have a greater connection and experience with God. And I trust whatever hunger and desire that you have in your heart today, that God will fulfill that for you before we leave. Amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord beginning to move in here and just deep flow of the Spirit. Let's just give the Lord some thanksgiving together right now. Lord, I bless your name. God, I worship you. I magnify you. I exalt you, oh holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 8, 9, and 10. Then I want to pick up a few more verses out of Revelation 21 and 1. Hebrews 11, 8, 9, and 10. And then we'll go to Revelation 21 and verse number 1. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, i.e. tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What prompted him to do all of that? It tells us here in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the promise that was given to Abraham, it's not verbalized in the account in Genesis when he was called by God and obeyed that calling, but it's very clearly articulated here that in that promise, not only did God promise him all the land that his foot could trod upon, but he promised him, amen, admittance and to be a part of a member of a city that hath foundations and its builder and maker is God. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you expect a building that God built to be somewhat superior to what man could build? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Revelation 21 and verse number 1. Revelation 21 and verse number 1. This is Apostle John, and he was the last of the living apostles, and he had quite an experience when God gave him that great vision on the island of Patmos. We visited that, I think this is the third time just in recent times, the book of Revelation. But John is telling what he saw in chapter 21. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Please take note of this. The earth that we're living on right now and the atmosphere and all the things that pertains to this is gone. When John saw this, this is futuristic even to us at this day. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. You think that's the one Abraham was looking for? Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Why don't you give thanksgiving to the Lord for the promise today? Lord, we magnify you. We exalt you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I bless your wonderful name, oh God. Amen, amen. Amen. Before you're seated, I'd like to announce my title. I'm preaching today on this subject. I am looking for a city. Are you looking for a city? Yes, sir. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. If you go back into the book of Genesis, chapter 12 and following chapters there, talk about the life, the calling, the obedience, the sacrifice, the life of this great man, Abraham. Abraham is known as a friend of God. And also, he is called the father of the faithful. These are not two titles he gave himself, but this was two titles that God gave to him. Truly, he was a great man, a man of faith, a man that desired the things of God, a man that was willing to leave wealth and to leave significant things behind and give it all up, leave beautiful homes, and to live in a tent for the rest of his life, trying to fulfill what God asked him to do, trying to achieve what God challenged him to reach for. And so during his earthly pilgrimage, as I read to you a little bit ago, he never did find exactly what he was looking for. He found the promised land. Amen. He stepped on a lot of it. He claimed a lot of it for his family coming after him, generations after him. But he never did get to find this city that he was looking for. It kind of sounds like somebody looking for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. He found the rainbow, but he didn't find the pot of gold. But the Bible says that he dwelt in tabernacles with his family, and that word translated tabernacle is a tent. It's called in the wilderness, the tabernacle that the Ark of the Covenant and all that was in, it was a tent. Even though it was a portable church, it was a tent. So he went from dwelling in homes, in cities, in places that were fortified and protected and guarded, to wandering through the countryside and not knowing where he's going to camp tomorrow. Right. He didn't have a map to go by. Right. He couldn't plan his trip out. Right. Amen. He didn't have TripAdvisor or any of these other apps and things that people use nowadays. Every day he had to walk by the Spirit. Every day he had to go as the Spirit of God beckoned him and led him to go. And so all of these things played out over many, many years. But on down in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us this concerning him and others. These all died in faith. And then it very plainly says, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off. They were persuaded of them, but they believed in it. You hear me? You got to believe in something mighty strong to do what Abraham did and his family following along with him. Amen. So he was persuaded of these promises. He embraced them. He confessed that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What he's saying is, I really don't fit down here. Amen. There's a better place where I want to dwell, and I want to find that city, and I'm looking for it every day that I live. Amen. Because God built that city. Amen. It has foundations, and it wasn't built by man, but it was built by God. And that which God builds is eternal. Amen. And it said, those that do such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What are you doing, Bob? What are you doing here in our part of the world? Well, there's a country I'm looking for. Is this it? No, this is not it. Amen. But I'm on a journey. I'm looking for a place that God has promised me. And then the Bible says if they'd been mindful of the country that they left, the one that they come out from, you know what they would have done? They would have got to focusing on that. In a few days, they'd have talked back and forth until they got so homesick, they'd turn around and went back where they started. I see people doing that on this Christian journey. Amen. They go so far. Then they get a little bit discouraged. They start talking to somebody, amen, that doesn't really believe what they're doing anyway. And they begin to talk it. And it's not long until they're out there looking for their old place out there in the world and seeing that they left. Amen. This is not a time to go looking, amen, for where you came from. Where you need to be looking is where you're going. Amen. Keep moving until you find what God wants you to have. Amen. And so, the Bible says they could have had the opportunity to return. But they desire a better country. I'm telling you what I'm preaching about today is so much better than anything you could imagine or dream of in this world. And said, it's a heavenly country. My. I've been a lot of beautiful places in the world. I was thinking while I was waiting to come to the pulpit here, I just got to thinking about all the great cities of the world I've been in. I've been in the largest ones in many, many different countries. And I've been like in Manila, in a square mile, there's 100,000 people that live in that city per square mile. Can you imagine that? 100,000 people in one, and it's not high-rise buildings. They're just packed in like sardines in a tin. Amen. I've been other places where it was modern and it was, something to really behold. But anyway, these cities in the world have nothing to offer compared to what God has offered to you. Amen. Amen. And so they're not ashamed to call God their God, and He's not ashamed to be called their God. I'm going to tell you, when you get your mindset on what God loves, He loves you. He loves you already to give His life for you. But I'm talking about a real close relationship. He can only love you from afar so much. You're stiff-arming Him. You're pushing Him way out here. And He's not going to break your arm to become your best friend. But if you show an interest and a desire to be His friend, He'll wrap you up in His arms. Amen. And treat you in a very, very special way. Amen. And so He hath prepared for them a city. Everybody look at me. If you're serving the Lord, you've obeyed the plan of salvation, this is talking about you. You've got a city prepared that's waiting for you. You've got a place in that city that God has built Himself without human hands touching it. Amen. And that city is waiting for you and me. Praise God. Reading on down, picking up verse 39 of Hebrews 11. And these all, and there's a long list of names in chapter 11. I'm not going to go down through it. I don't want to get bogged down in that. I want to keep moving forward here with Abraham and what God promised him. But anyway, all of these obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. Now, you know what that means when it says they received a good report? How many of you kids love it when it's time for your report cards? Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. How many of you kids dread it when it's time for report cards? Come on, be honest with me. Yeah. And I can see who's on the honorary roll. But listen, God's the one that's passing out these grades. And I'm going to tell you what. If you will do your best to serve the Lord and do what He wants you to do, you know what He's going to do? He's going to give you a good report. Amen. Someday, on your way into that city, you're going to hear a voice saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. I've got some things prepared for you. I'm glad you finally made it home. I've been waiting for you a long time." Amen. You got to understand that it's God's eternal plan to have a church that's comprised of redeemed people. Redeemed people. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's say if you go down to the pawn shop and you pawn something and they give you some money Let's say you take a saddle down there, and this saddle's maybe worth $700 or $1,000. Well, the most I can give you on it is $150. Well, all right. You didn't sell it. You just pawned it. You borrowed $150 against that expensive saddle. And that's really not all that expensive. You get into buying the kind of stuff that professional rodeo people buy and ranchers, et cetera, et cetera. It can get way on up there. But just for an example here. And they give you a slip of paper, receipt, that tells you how much interest you're going to have to pay until you get this note paid off. And then you can have it back. And so what that is, when you take the money that's owed, that which they loan to you and the interest which has accrued, and you bring that to them, you know what you're doing? You're redeeming your purchase, your property. And so what this is talking about, you and I, we were sold into sin. Adam sold us out thousands of years ago. And that is still something that hangs over the head of every person that's born into the world. But Jesus Christ said they belong to me first because I created them. And he shed his blood and offered redemption to you and I, saying you can get up out of that cell and go free if you'll just follow me. If you'll serve me, I'll take you to a far better place than you're ever going to see down here on this old earth. And so I submit to you today that we are so privileged to be a part of that better thing that God has provided for us. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That's the saints of the Old Testament that didn't get to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. But they looked forward to our time and wanted to be a part of it. Now, here's what Apostle John is seeing in his vision. He is seeing the fulfillment of what these Old Testament saints were searching for. He didn't go looking for it. He's just serving the Lord. He's been persecuted. All kinds of things were done. They tried to execute him, and it didn't work. So they banished him out here on this old barren island. Here he is left alone. Somebody say, you know, he's out there so long, he lost his mind and he dreamed up all these crazy things. No, he didn't dream up no crazy things. If you know anything about God and the rest of the Word of God, he had a visitation from on high, and he wrote for us the things which he saw and heard. And so, in chapter 21, verse number 1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And the reason why I emphasized a while ago when I was reading the text, please take notice that the earth as we know it now and all the things, the heavens, the atmosphere around and all of that, it's going to be gone when this happens. And if you are living for this world, that means you're going to be going with it. Amen. I don't want to be here when this world's on fire. Amen. I want to be with Jesus in that place that he has prepared. And he said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. Wow. What's going on here? And he said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Surely this is the city that Abraham was looking for. Well, it had 12 foundations. Had 12 gates. It had streets of gold. It had gates of pearl. Amen. It was made out of every precious stone you can think of. My. Can you imagine gold so plentiful that they used it for asphalt? That's, hey, what I'm trying to help you understand, it's a better place. It's a place that God has prepared. And he heard a voice, a great voice, a loud voice, a strong voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen carefully. I'm going as quick as I can. I'm not going to be much longer, but I want you to get this message before I conclude here today. The voice said, the tabernacle of God is with man. What the body that God dwells in is with man. God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit, but a spirit can occupy something that exists. And so he said, the tabernacle of God is with men. When did that happen? When Jesus walked here on the earth. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. It's letting us know. What it's letting us know here is that Jesus, amen, was God manifest in flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Let me drop on down to verse 14. We're still talking about the Word. And it said, Jesus was that Word. All right? You with me? Can you take this next verse? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the physical tabernacle in which Jehovah God dwelt. And that's the only one He's ever dwelt in, and the only one He ever will dwell in, as far as to fill it full. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head and principality of all power. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. So, His people are you and I, those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And think about this. In verse 4, it goes on to say, God shall wipe away all their tears. Why does He have to wipe away their tears? Why are they crying? I'm going to tell you why. Because they've been rejected by the world. They've been mistreated. They've been persecuted. They've been put down. They've been lied on. They've been cheated. Are you hearing me? Amen. They've had, I'm going to tell you, a lot of God's church has gone through such things as this. And I don't think we're as far from it as we think we are or wish we were. I'm telling you, there's people out in the government today that absolutely hate Christianity with a passion. Some of the governors during this pandemic left a lot of things open, bars, clubs, other places, but they made all the churches shut down. In fact, there was some of the higher courts had to reverse that in certain places. Don't want to spend a lot of time on that. I'm just telling you, what would make somebody do that? They hate the name of Jesus. They hate the church. They hate Christians. And they're doing everything within their power to try to eradicate it and frustrate what Christianity is trying to do. And yet it's the only group of people in the world that really cares about people. Amen. And so He said, when you get there, God's going to be standing there with His big old hanky. And He said, just a minute. You can't come in until I take care of something. And He takes it. You know, He's always been one hands-on God. When He created Adam, He said, hold it just a minute. I'm not going to speak this into existence. I'm going to form it with my hands. Amen. When God touches us, He touches us with His hand. Amen. When He hugs us, He hugs us with His everlasting arms. Hallelujah. Oh my, it's such a privilege to be a child of God. Amen. And so He drives the tears from their eyes. Now here's what He just dealt with. Here's how He did it. He said, hey, let me tell you something. You're in a place now where there'll be no more death. You don't have to worry about dying the second time. There's no sorrow. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. No crying. There's no disappointments in heaven. Neither shall there be any more pain, because nobody is going to be sick. Nobody's going to be injured. Nobody's going to have an accident. Amen. You're never going to suffer any of these things that you suffered on earth. You know why? Because all these things that used to take place, former things, are gone. They're passed away. Praise God. Give me about 5 to 7 minutes to finish this up. I'm back to Abraham. You would call him a nomad. because he was living in tents and moving from one place to another. He never had a permanent residence for all of those years after he had left where he came from. And as he moved about, he was continually watching, looking. I can just imagine. The Bible talks about also that Isaac and Jacob was with him, and they were before he died. And I can see Isaac saying, Dad, what are you looking at? What are you doing? Climbed up on a knoll, and he's looking around. He said, I'm looking for a city. But that's not it. And so he went on the next day. We're going to move over to an area over here. Amen. I feel it's God leading us to go there. And I heard that there's some beautiful cities over there. I want to go check them out. And he got over there. And when he could see, he'd say, no, that's not it. That's not it. He died in the faith. He didn't get to see the promise. But I'm going to tell you what, when he got over on the other side, he got to see what God was talking about. Amen. Do you suppose, there's another let me just throw this in here. How many of you remember the story of how Abraham's nephew Lot, that his father passed away and Abraham kind of adopted him as an uncle, looking over, bringing him into his home as a child. And Lot's an adult, and he went with them. And he has herds and of cows, and he has sheep and other things along that line, flocks of sheep, etc. And so anyway, God blessed Abraham, his herds, his flocks multiplied. He didn't hardly have, couldn't hardly find enough grazing for them. And Lot had the same thing. It's a problem, but it's a good problem. But Abraham said to him one day, he'd heard their herdsmen had been fussing and fighting over water holes and pastures and whatever. And Abraham said, look, Lot, we're brethren. We're family. We don't want to do this. We're not going to have a falling out with each other. I tell you what, come with me. And he took him up on a mountain, a vantage point where no doubt he'd been many times. And he said, I want you to look across this valley. Look how fertile and how green and all the water and everything good down there, and said, and then look at these mountains. And the mountains were beautiful in their own way, but you'd have to work pretty hard to take care of cattle in that terrain. And he said, you choose whichever one you want and I'll be happy with the other. Look, he was the matriarch or the patriarch. He was the main. He could have said, look, you're going there and I'm going here. But you know, he wanted Lot to make his choice, because Abraham made his choice to follow God. And now he's saying, look, you check it out. You look it over. Take whatever it is you want. This question early this morning hit my mind so strongly. And I thought, I wonder if the reason that Abraham did this is because he saw those wicked cities down in the plain, and he didn't want to be around them. He didn't want to be close to them. He didn't want to be connected with them. It just wasn't worth it. He'll go climb the mountains. Amen. He'll do what he has to do to take care of his cattle and sheep and whatever. And Lot, you can have that if you want it. And I'm telling you what, his judgment was right, because what happened when Lot took his family down into that valley? He lived in tents for a while, but it didn't take long for mama to talk him into buying a home. And he moved into one of those corrupt, perverse places, and his family was affected by it. Amen. Just something to think about. Let me tell you something. If you are looking for the politicians to straighten this mess out, you're going to be disappointed. Somebody said, we get the right man in there. Well, who is the right man? It's been a long time since we've had a president that was able to straighten some things out. And the one just passed, and probably did more than any other president in my lifetime to try to straighten things out, was was ridiculed, disrespected, and everything they could do to shut him down was done. Now we have just the opposite. And he's doing all these great things, and all you people's excited about those trillions of dollars that he's passing out. Remember, he'll only be in there a few years, and he's a multi-millionaire. He's not going to be hurt by it. But all of us folks that have to live from wages and live from what you make, et cetera, it's going to be a debt that you can't pay. Especially if it's by the time it's passed on to your children and your grandchildren. There are a lot of things I could say, but I'm just telling you, if in this life only I had hope, I would be of all men most miserable. Amen. My hope is not here. I'm looking for a city. I said, I'm looking for a city. Whatever I have to do, I'm looking for a city. Praise God. If you see me staring off with a vacant look in my eyes, and you wonder what's bothering Brother Howard, it's not something bothering me. I'm looking for a city. Oh, you come a hashakama. Is there anybody here that's looking for a city today? Is there anybody here that wants to go to that city that I preached about today? Is there anybody tired of this old world and all of its sin and grief and strife and disappointments and lies and on and on and on? I'm telling you, there's a better way to live in this life, and a tremendous way to live when this life is over, and it's available for whosoever will. I said it's available for whosoever will. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, let's give thanks to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Savior. God, I worship you. God, I magnify you. I bless your holy name. Thank you for the promise. I haven't seen it yet, but I know I'm getting close. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I praise you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you will remember parts, if not all, of that old hymn, I'm Looking for a City. Amen. Where we'll never die. Where with faithful millions will never say goodbye. Amen. That's where I want to go. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.